Jesus is the Christ, the light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Let us gather together in that light.
Call me into your presence, guiding me by.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. We invite you, if you're a visitor, to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today so that we can get to know you a little bit better. We do have several visitors here with us, and I just wanted to read their names. Gay Collins, today is her installation service. We will install her as our new minister of music and children. Of course, she's been with us for some time now and has served in wonderful ways. And to celebrate that, several folks have come, some even from all the way from Demopolis, to be here and share in this special day with her. Dave Babcock is here, Hope Hills, Bonnie Bull, Susan Harris, Jackie Thrailkill, Lauren Collins, and Jonathan Collins, her children are here, Jean Shepherd, Cindy Willis, Jose Regalado, and Barbara Spejas, and Braxton Spejas. And I think she brought Jerry with her today, too. Jerry said she made him put on a tie. But we are excited to celebrate with them, and we welcome you here into this space to worship. I want to just highlight a few things for you this morning. This evening, in place of our adult Bible study, we will have a time of prayer. We want to just pray for our nation and our world and many of the concerns that we have. So we'll meet this evening at 5:45 here in the sanctuary rather than in the Truth Seekers classroom. Also want to let you know that there is a new Sunday school class that started today, a young adult class which meets at 10 o'clock in the youth game room. So I don't know if they get access to some of the stuff in the youth game room, but that's a new opportunity for you if you're a young adult college student. Again, they meet at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings in the youth game room. Today, as we worship, we want to invite you just open your heart to celebrate. This is a good day. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the church of Galatia, Galatians chapter 2, reading verses 19 and 20. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, our Father, creator of all, in these few moments of worship, we come to you with the words and works, the desires, the hopes, the fears that dominate our everyday lives. We come to give thanks in all things, to seek a new perspective, to find new strength. Jesus Christ, Son of God, help us today to find our hearts burning with a fiery love and devotion to you, so that kneeling at your feet, we hear the tender whisper of your call. Holy Spirit, wind of God, open our minds to learn from Christ, that in listening we might hear, and in hearing we might respond as he invites us to come and die and live. We lift this prayer to the triune God in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now join us singing our hymns of praise, How Great is Our God and How Great Thou Art. Please stand if able.
The splendor of the King, glory and majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and joy.
here today on behalf of the missions team here at the church, and if you all, the people who are here every year about this time, we make two big pots of Brunswick stew. Best stew in the county. I don't know why we didn't get featured in NC State Magazine, but the Exchange Club got stew, got a call out, but we'll get one soon. But so we have stew coming. It's going to be on the last Friday and Saturday in October, the 28th and 29th. The 28th doesn't involve anybody but the people who are cooking the meat. But on Saturday, we need a full team of people here to help us get the stew ready and stir and dip it in the cups and get everything ready for selling it. We will have some people calling you pretty soon, asking you how many quarts you want to order. But we decided to take advantage of this day in another way also, and to reach out to the community, our community, our town of Elon and Gibsonville and Burlington communities. So we're going to share our fall blessings, and we're going to have a fall blessing celebration as people are coming in to pick up their stew. We will have some stew that's there for them to taste and eat and have some lunch if they would like to. We will have games set up, face painting. We'll have some cornhole games. We'll have all kinds of things that are happening on the church grounds for people to do when they come and pick up their stew. You don't have to pick up stew, but if, once you get there and you smell it, you're going to want some of it. Okay, and so we'll be doing that from like 11 to 1. Picking up stew. We'll still also be picking up stew for the rest of the afternoon. It usually takes all afternoon. But from 1 to 2 that afternoon, we're going to turn our side parking lot into a trunk or treat activity for the children of the neighborhood and the surrounding areas. So if you know of children who would like to come in trunk or treat on the 29th of October, they're invited to come from 1 to 2 that afternoon. But you know what that means for us. We need some people to volunteer their cars, to bring them, park in the parking lot and fill their trunk full of candy for the children that are going to come through. We're going to need people to help with the games. We're going to need people to help with serving the stew, because it's going to take my whole stew crew to do what we usually do, which is dipping and selling and that kind of stuff. So we're going to need lots of help. So over the next couple of weeks, you're going to be getting lots of call-outs. What would you like to do? Would you volunteer your cornhole game for us to have out on the lawn of the church? Anything that we can have, and you may have some other ideas of things that we can do. But we're going to need everybody working together, so we're looking forward to that day. So be getting ready for your stew October the 29th. Okay, thank you. Oh, I forgot. I brought props and didn't even need them. I thought I might. So I had them and I forgot. You want me to leave these up?
That's okay. I forgot my stuff. I had to run back and go get it.
No, they might not want to. All right. Okay, come here, Wes. Open this up, please, sir. Find out what's in there. A light bulb. What can you do with a light bulb, Luke? He's like this. What does a light bulb do? It makes light. Does it help you see in the dark? Wesley? Yeah, yeah. Anything else? Does the light bulb do anything else? It can overheat. What happens? It busts, right. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little story here. It says, once there was a long, dark hallway. No one could see the rug in the front of the bedroom door. No one could see that Tommy had left his dump truck just outside that door. No one could see that Twinkle, the little puppy, is sleeping at the end of the hall. What might happen if someone walked down that dark hallway? What might happen? Might slip on the truck. What else might happen? What else did we say? What was Twinkle? Where was Twinkle? Wesley going to answer all the questions. Luke, what was Twinkle doing? Laying on the rug. Okay. So Twinkle was laying on the rug. They might trip over the rug, they might step on Twinkle's foot, and she might cry. Someone might step on the dump truck, and it would roll, and they would get hurt, right? The light switch on the wall was right at the hallway. If we're going to walk in that hall, what should we do? We should flip on the light, shouldn't we? That's a good idea. Does the light shout at you, look for at the rug, look out for the rug? Does that light shout at you? No. Does that light say, be careful, there's a dump truck in the hallway? No. Does it say, watch out, Twinkle's laying on that rug? No? No. Okay. So, the light doesn't shout at us, does it? Instead, the light shines. So when the light is shining, we can see the rug, we can see Twinkle, we can see that dump truck. It is easy to find our way down that hallway, isn't it? John says that Jesus is the light, that the light shines in darkness, and darkness hasn't overcome it. Remember that light doesn't shout at us, move things out of our way to avoid danger. Light doesn't shout anything at us. What does the light do? Shines. That's right. It shines. Always remember, let the light of Jesus shine in you. Okay? So remember, let that light shine in you so people can see Jesus in you. Okay? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being the light and showing us how to live in this world. You can show us bad things in this world so that we can avoid them. And you can show us the good things so that we can do good to help others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jesus, the light of the world. Let us pray. Dear Lord, in this beautiful fall day, we're reminded how great is our God. We thank you for your many blessings. Today, Lord, we lift up Gay and her ministry to us, and we thank you for all that she's here to do for us. Bless these gifts and the givers. Amen.
Invite Gay to come now to the pulpit. We are working you pretty hard today. You have earned your entire paycheck has been earned in this one Sunday. I give you the rest of the month off, but they don't let me do stuff like that. We're going to have now a time of installation for Gay, and there is a responsive reading that will be posted on the screen here in the back, also here in the front. I want to let you know that there are places for you to come in various ways. There are responses for the entire congregation, as well as individual responses for youth and youth workers and children and their parents as well. And then Gay has quite a bit to say in this as well. But as we come to the offering, time is still in place, and Gay is coming to offer herself to the Lord. And she's coming to serve this congregation and this community, and this is an awesome task. But she is showing us how it's done, and we appreciate that. Would you join together as we read responsibly? We are a community of believers who follow Jesus Christ. As we receive and share God's love, we thank God for direction and provision in meeting our needs. We have discerned gifts in our sister Gay Collins, which can combine with our own in a commitment for growth and service. Thank you for your faithfulness in calling. We believe that we have listened to God together and then brought you to our congregation. As we form a ministry team with Gay, we look forward to growing with her. We want to offer Gay our support, ideas, feedback, openness, and honesty. We want to share together our feelings, concerns, love, and prayers. We have confidence in the servants of the church that they will work alongside Gay to care for our community. We are the children in our church family. We would like Miss Gay to be our friend and want to have fun with her and learn from her.
I love children, and I promise to always spend time with you when you need me. I am here for you. I will have lots of fun together. We will have lots of fun.
Indeed, we are all look forward to knowing you better, serving with you, learning with you, and reaching out with you into a world of need. We are pilgrims on a journey together.
We are pilgrims together, following fellow travelers on the way.
And all God's people said amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Gay's family and those who are here, her friends, to support her. If they would like to come and join her now here at the front. And Susan Reinheimer, who served as the chair of the search team, they did an incredible task and put in a lot of work, and she's going to come now to offer the prayer of installation.
Pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today on behalf of our sister Gay Collins. For many months we have prayed and sought your will and wisdom as we consider candidates to be our next minister of music and children. And Lord, we believe we found that person in Gay. We give you thanks and praise for bringing Gay to us here at First Baptist Elon. Thank you for the blessing that she already is to us. We ask you to fill her with your Holy Spirit to do work for your kingdom as she leads us in worship and with our children. Help Gay stay focused on you and your word at all times, and continue to fill her with grace, energy, wisdom, joy, and love. And Lord, please help us to be mindful of all of Gay's needs. Show us ways to work alongside her in service to you, and help us to be a blessing to her as she already is to us. Amen.
As we continue to worship, we hear again the words of Holy Scripture. Jesus also had something of an installation service for his disciples as he sent them out into the world. I invite you to reflect on those words as we hear them together. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to the councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at the time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We invite you to take some time in silence as we together privately make our confessions to the Lord. Would you pray? God, in the silence of a moment, it becomes evident to us that we are lacking, that we are falling short. Forgive us, Lord, for those moments when you said go and we did not go. Those moments when you said speak and we did not speak. Those moments that you said act and we did not act. Change our hearts, O God. Recreate us anew. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to be your people working in the world, proclaiming the good news, the gospel. Help us to be a people who lean on your Spirit at all times. And Lord, we pray that each step of our journey would be the step you give us to take. And Lord, as we walk, we see a world that is in desperate situation. We see a world that is broken and hurting. Often that hurt is very close to us, God. We have friends and family who are grieving, who are struggling with disease, cancer, and sicknesses of all types. We have friends and family who can't get around anymore, Lord. Some are bound to a bed or to a home or in an assisted living facility. Some are shackled in other ways, Lord, in their spirit. We see them wrestling with addictions, wrestling with sins, wrestling with a sense of apathy and loss. The world is listless, Lord. And they do not see the light. Many of us have friends and family who are no longer with us, and it is we who grieve. Comfort, oh, comfort your people, Lord. Comfort this world, indeed. As God, we see the news and the writing on the wall, and it causes us to shake in our bones. And so we pray that your kingdom would come. And yes, Lord, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Hello, Sarah. Could you put me through to the diner? No, I don't know what the special is today. That's why I'm calling the diner. Thank you. I'll let you know what the special is. No, I'd rather you not just listen in, Sarah. When I see this phone, I can't help but think about the Andy Griffith Show. Although this is a kind of a modern recreation of one of those phones. You can actually plug this in today and use it. But we've come a long way in communication, haven't we? And communication has changed quite a bit over the years. And when I think about a phone like this, just go back to the moment where some random guy had this idea that through a telegraph, he could use a device in one town to communicate with a device in a completely different town. How audacious that really was to think that that was possible. And now, today, look at what we can do. The communication possibilities have exploded with potential. I used to think about that when in Germany I'd pick up a phone to call North Carolina. And then, of course, we have Skype and FaceTime, all from a handheld device that we could communicate to anyone virtually anywhere in the world. It's incredible. It's shocking. Just let that sink in. We don't even have phones anymore, do we? We have smartphones and iPhones. You may not believe this, but until 2 years ago, I was still using a flip phone and had never sent a text in my life. And now I couldn't imagine living without this little device. Of course, I want to find my high school math teacher and say, you remember when you said that you're not going to walk around with a calculator in your hand all the time? Wrong. What an incredible journey we have been on as a race, a human race, in terms of connection and communication and being able to speak to people. And yet, how does God speak? Throughout the ages, God has spoken to and with his people without a smartphone or a telegraph or email or text. How is God speaking in the world? The other day, I was watching a YouTube video, and you know how when you go and click on one, a commercial will come up. And this commercial had this very familiar-looking guy with glasses and dark hair, and he said, you may remember me. I'm the guy who used to ask you, can you hear me now? Do you remember those commercials? Must have been late 90s, early 2000s. And I said, yeah, I remember this guy. A flood of memory, in fact, came back as I thought about that time. And I remember during those years, and it seemed like maybe a decade, of this same guy asking the same question over and over again. Can you hear me now? You could barely turn on a television set without seeing one of those commercials for a cell phone company. Can you hear me now? When I look at the story of Scripture and throughout the pages of this text, story after story, I think boiled down to God looking at humanity and saying to us, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Think about that time when the world had become so dark and so distant from God and so corrupt, and people were killing folk and robbing folk and lying and doing all sorts of evil, to the point where God said, I regret making this. And then you know the story. There's Noah, there's the ark, there's the rounding up of two of every kind of creature. There's 40 days of rains and floods, and then when it all breaks, there is a rainbow in the sky, and God says, can you hear me now? Or I think about Abraham, God calling him out there in the desert, leading him on all kinds of journeys, giving him a son even in his old age, and then telling him, take the son and sacrifice him. And just when it seemed like all was lost, a ram in the bush, and God says, Abraham, can you hear me now? I think about the burning bush. Moses, another guy out in the desert, and God speaking through that bush, and God sending Moses to Pharaoh, and all the locusts and the frogs and the fiery hail and rivers of blood and the angel of death. And God says to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh, can you hear me now?" The prophets ask the question too, both through words of warning and words of hope. Throughout those prophetic utterances, they were all voicing God's question, "Can you hear me now?" And then in Bethlehem, in a barn, to a family of poverty, there is born this child. And he grows up, and he suffers, and he sacrifices, and he works miracles and tells the truth as it is. And I think with each nail driven into his flesh and a spear on the side, God in tears was looking at us and saying, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?" And 3 days later, when the stone was rolled and the tomb was empty, God asked, "Can you hear me now?" But through all those stories, do you notice that much like this technology, things have changed? That God has changed the way he speaks to his people, and he speaks one way in one era and another way in another. And as the letter of Hebrews puts it, long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through him, he also created the worlds. He is a reflection of God's glory and exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And then this hymn, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'? Or again, 'I will be his father, and he will be my son.' And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" The teaching was that Jesus now is that voice asking that question, "Can you hear me now?" That Jesus was speaking to his people. But even in this very modern age, how is it that Jesus is speaking to you? How is God talking to you today? I go back to what Jesus said in Matthew's gospel. When Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." How is God speaking? God speaks through God's people to a world of darkness, a world of brokenness in a world of hurt. God seeks to speak through you and act through you and work through you. As Paul would put it, we are Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador sent from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdoms of the world to act on behalf of the King of Kings. Let that rest on your shoulders for a moment, because that is an incredibly heavy burden, isn't it? That means then that whatever we say, we who call ourselves disciples, whatever we say and whatever we do is revealing God to the world. The world looks at us and judges God according to us. So many people are atheists, not because of anything God ever said or did, but because of something we have said or done or not said or not done. God speaks through you, his people. That Jesus, according to John's gospel, is the light of the world. But then Jesus says to you, brothers and sisters, know you are also the light of the world, shining in the darkness, beacons, a city on a hill, a light on a lampstand to show the way. Gay, we have been watching you, and we have been listening to you. And on this Sunday of installation, we say to God's question, yes, Lord, we can hear you now through your servant, Gay. We look at brothers and sisters in this room and on their faces see the face of Christ in the world. And we should say, as we look into each other's eyes, yes, Lord, we can see you. We can hear you, God. We know you are here. And Gay, the question that we charge you with to ask yourself each day, to remind yourself, as we all should do as well, is that we remember for whom it is that we are speaking, whose words we are uttering, and whose actions we are acting out. It is a fearful thing, but what an honor and what a blessing. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to pay attention to what you are saying, to speak the words that you give us, and to do the things you call us to do. Help us to be your hands and feet, be your voice, indeed your very face to this world of darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We invite you to respond now to God's word as we stand together, if you are able, and sing our hymn of response, The Solid Rock. That's what we stand on. Amen. Would you please stand?
My hope is filled.
And also encourage you to stay afterwards in the fellowship, in the foyer. We have a table with some food and drink on it. And you're encouraged just to fellowship with one another. You want to probably speak to Gay and to her family and friends who have come to be with us today on this special occasion. You can take your food and drink and stand out in front of the church or here in the foyer or in the choir room or even down the hallway. But we want to encourage you to please stay for just a few moments after this service. Would you bow with me? May the light of the world shine on you. May the light of the world shine within you. May the light of the world shine through you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.